The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast, explaining the news coming out of the complex worlds of finance, economics, and politics, and the impact it will have on everyday Americans. Author, investment banker, consumer advocate, analyst, and trader, Chris Markowski.
All right, welcome everybody. Taking me back years is going back to the Obamacare. We can go further than that. We'll go back to the Bush administration, Rick Santorum, coming up with, high deductible health insurance with health savings accounts, which I was a huge fan of back in the day. I mean, it was one of the best healthcare plans going. They still have it, but it's not worthwhile like it was back then. Everything is priced in right now because of Obamacare and because of all the subsidies that are handed out to such a large swath of the country. I've talked about insurance here on the program at length, and health insurance. We call it health insurance. You're not really buying health insurance here in this country. What you're buying is, in essence, you're almost prepaying for medical services more often than not. I have a for my company. Most of the people subscribe to the it's high deductible coupled with the health savings accounts. You would think the insurance price would be down because your out of pocket is so high, but it every year continues to rise. It goes to the roof, and it's not insurance, and this is something that again people are. They don't like talking about this. I said, you take a look at the overall health here of people here in the United States and just how bad it is. I mean, sometimes you get the people on the left, you compare the healthcare outcomes from this country to that country. We have an obesity problem here in this country. We have a drug problem in this country, and that obviously plays a part in regards to mortality rates, without a doubt. You take a look at countries that have much better eating habits than we have, and it plays a major part. I mean, you take a look at COVID, and one of the biggest underlying symptoms, things that hurt people due to COVID was obesity, being overweight. Anyway, okay, insurance. If you buy car insurance, and let's just say you are you got a lead foot and you get caught a lot. You're not using Waze. You get caught a lot. You've got yourself into fender benders. The insurance company is going to what? It's going to look at you as a greater risk. Your premium is going to be more. If you happen to have a house in a flood zone on the water, maybe on the Gulf of Mexico, your insurance is going to be higher because there is a greater risk involved there. Life insurance. They're going to do a doctor's exam. They're going to do a physical. They're going to check you out. They want to see what type of risk they're taking on before they price your premium. Health insurance, they don't do that. They don't do that. They're not coming and checking to see what my overall health is and the health of my wife and kids when they price my policy. They don't look at that at all. Can't do that here in this country. That would be unfair, I guess, but let's not call it insurance, okay? Because you're taking many risks out of the equation and they're spreading them out to everybody. Anyway. Let's take that. Let's put that aside. Right now, there's all the clamor out there. Do we need to have price controls on pharmaceuticals? And today there was a editorial board piece in the Wall Street Journal talking about the drug price self-sabotage. And I don't know why I do this to myself, but I do it. I see articles like this. I'm like, oh boy, I got to go read the comments to see what some of the wacky shacks are saying. And it's the usual left-wing claptrap. Oh, these pharmaceutical companies are gouging and they're making too much money and profits. And no fundamental understanding in how the world actually works. Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I used to be involved in investment banking and was involved to some degree in biotechnology deals. And you think, you know, you come up with an idea for a drug. Oh, wow, it's going to be a miracle cure for this. Do you think it just comes to market? It can take over 10 years. It can take over 10 years. And the trials that are involved are exhaustive. And they are very, very expensive. Now, what company is going to go ahead and develop drugs if they cannot turn around and make money on it? They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And again, you read the comments. Oh, the drug that I buy here in the United States is $80, and I can get it for $8 in Canada. Again, I've explained this before. We here in this country are being fleeced. We're being fleeced. You know, the biggest fleecing of Americans happens to do with the fact that we pay the research and development costs for the world's miracle cures, pharmaceuticals, treatments, medical devices. Who pays? We pay. And I don't know, you think we're just paying to defend NATO and defend the rest of the world. No. We pay for this. Companies go. In the story here today, they're talking about AbbVie and Eli Lilly, and they're pulling out of an agreement they had with the UK government that was aimed at reducing drug spending. And the AbbVie executive said the government's policies are harming our ability to operate sustainably in the UK. The NHS imposes price controls on drugs that reduce their cost on average by 60% versus the United States. UK law also requires drug makers to pay a 24.4% rebate on revenue from branded drugs. Holy freaking mafioso, Batman. 24% kickback. Why is Don Finucci wearing a white suit there working for the NHS collecting his big? Obviously this discourages drug makers from selling treatments in the UK. They're getting out. Even Bayer, which is a European company, looking to leave markets as well. Bristol-Myers Squibb warned the UK that is looking to divert investment. Again, where's all of the research being done for new cures, drugs, treatments? It's China and the United States. China and the United States, and this is why. At some point in time, we always talk about, we got to have free trade, and we had Tariff Man as president, Donald Trump. I loves tariffs. I don't know. Why don't we do something about pharmaceuticals here? Europeans have got their underwear in a bunch because of the Inflation Reduction Act and some of Biden's policies of Buy American stuff that he put in there that I don't like either. I think it's BS too. But I would just come back saying, wait a second, all your national health services force American pharmaceutical companies to pay below market price. And we, the people here in the United States of America, have to pick up those costs. Price caps, price controls. Here's a lesson, everybody. Price caps, price controls don't work. They didn't work when Nixon put them in place. They don't work. Ever. Again, this is messing around with economic Mother Nature, which I like to talk about all so often here on the program. Stop tinkering with nature. Your island of Dr. Moreau and everything here when you get involved. So it's not a difficult concept, people. It really isn't. And listen. If India wants to subsidize, wants to, you know, thinks they're his, their citizens can't afford certain treatments. Let them subsidize that. Let them pay part of the cost if that's what they want to do for their citizens. Don't make the pharmaceutical company take the hit. Again, I wish there was more blowback in regards to this. Anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit about this. We had conversations about this in regards to temp workers and what it means to the overall economy right now. Last 5 months of 2022, employers cut 110,000 temp workers, 35,000 in December. That's the largest monthly drop since early 2021. And look at history. Oftentimes when you see temp workers fall off, it's the sign of a slowdown, imminent recession. There's going to be a change in the labor market. I do think that that's without a doubt playing a part. But another aspect as well is the fact that, again, many businesses out there are looking, if they get a good temp worker and they want to hold on to that temp worker, they're going to bring them on full time. A lot of companies, you know, once bit, twice shy when it comes to tight labor markets, especially smaller type firms and mom and pop shops out there. They got a temp worker on. And you're a good employer. You're a good business owner. You're going to be able, you talk about smelling talent. You also, you know, you also sniff out hard workers as well. And you bring on a temp worker that's busting his or her ass, treating that business like it's their own, you're going to pay them because you're not going to want to lose them. Again, it's going to be an interesting dynamic when it comes to the employment market moving throughout 2023. We're continuing to see layoffs. We had earnings today. A myriad of different companies came out. Again, it's the same bag, you know, some good, some bad. There's no earnings apocalypse that's upon us. I did find it fascinating. You know, I mean, some of the companies, they actually was CEO of Raytheon was being interviewed today and was listening into that call. And he's talking about how the amount of engineers that they need to bring on and, you know, how they're starting to pick up some of the ones that are getting kicked to the curb from some of the Silicon Valley companies. Anyway, a little bit more on crypto here. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't make this up if you wanted to. I cover this a little bit here on the program. Quite frankly, I do it almost as a PSA in the hope that people listening to the podcast, or the radio show might pick up on some of it and wisen up in regards to what they're doing with their money. Again, I'm not holding my breath. I've been doing my program here for 20 some odd years. I've been helping investors out to avoid ripoffs, scams, and fraud for 30. And, you know, you can lead a horse to water. You can. And I'll give, you know, we've got a track record that, look for yourself, that the calls that we've made over the years, the warnings that we put out there. And it's still people, you know, they're too smart. What is it? It's that British saying. I've said it before here on the program. Too clever by half. Okay, clever, but not clever enough. I'm not making this up. One of the Three Arrows Capital, which was a multi-billion dollar bankruptcy last year, the two executive CEOs of that company are back, and they're opening up another exchange called CoinFlex. CoinFlex, and what CoinFlex is going to do is it's going to actually not only trade in these cryptos, but it's going to trade in the claims on crypto fraud. You couldn't make this stuff up. You could. I mean, again, this is not you know, limited to crypto. There was a editorial today by Greg Apelka, and he pointed out something I pointed out before. You had, what's his name there? John Mayweather back in 1998. Yep, blew up his hedge fund, blew it up, needed a bailout. And then, you know what? Wasn't too long after he started another fund. That one blew up. And guess what? Another one after that. Again, the old Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does, rings true. And you know, I've mentioned here on the program, I've gotten to that point in time in my career where, you know, we see the people, I get the phone calls, need help, look at my portfolio that's got bloody, you know, cryptos and NFT and all this crap in it. You did it to yourself because you were greedy. You wanted to get rich quick. Am I wrong? All right. The old, you know, Murkowski Investments, Warren Buffett, Jeremy Siegel, the old way of, like, I don't know, work, time, and effort, high quality companies compounding the best safe yields. Yeah, well, you weren't interested in that. You weren't interested in that. You wanted it, and you wanted it right now. And that's why you're effed right now. And I can't snap my fingers and make your funds come back. Sorry, folks. Can't happen. Story about the Securities and Exchange Commission and how, well, their scrutiny, they're saying, is blocking some crypto firms from going public. It's not blocking, it's just slowing it down. That's all. That's all. The Securities and Exchange Commission doesn't approve IPOs. They'll say it right on the red herring. They don't approve. They'll ask questions. And they're asking more questions now because it's in the news. They weren't asking any questions a couple years ago. Zip, zero, zilch, nada. But now, oh, forget about it. SEC's, you know, got to ask a ton of questions now because they're in the spotlight because they dropped the proverbial ball. I would say, again, that they didn't drop the proverbial ball, okay? They have not, this is, I don't even understand, this is their purview. This is Justice Department stuff, as far as I'm concerned. This is not the Securities and Exchange Commission. It's not. And again, like I've said before, the Securities and Exchange Commission is crime scene investigation, CSI stocks. They don't prevent anything. They come in after the fact and they figure out what happened. At that point in time, guess what? You're effed. All right, demographics. Wow, these numbers are, I mean, I knew that they were bad, but Japan has got a population of 125 million. Last year, it had fewer than 800,000 births. Back in the 70s, it was 2 million. Japan has the world's second highest proportion of people age 65 and over. Wow. 28%. And some of the people are saying that this, whether or not this country can survive as a society. And again, they're trying to, you know, put together programs and a myriad of things, trying to convince people to have more kids. Researchers are saying that by the end of this century, Japan's population could be 53 million. And they give the reasons. Falling birth rates driven by a range of factors, including rising living costs, more women in education and work. That to me is horseshit. As well as greater access to contraception. Horseshit. It's a cost. It's a cost of having kids. It's a cost of living within countries. You're not just seeing it in Japan. You're seeing it in Europe, too. Again, Japan has very, very strict rules in regards to immigration. You're not getting in, okay? You're not getting in. It is a very closed-off society. Europe, again, a lot of the leaders in Europe, they've come to the rationale and said, either we have to have immigrants come in, or our countries are just going to go ahead and die off. Can't afford it. It's a very high cost of living in many of these countries. These people don't make as much money, and people decide, hey, you know what? I can't afford to have Can't afford to have a few kids. Can't afford to do it. Yeah, you talk about it, just to mention Europe, talk about it here in the United States. It is damn expensive to raise a family. It is. Yeah, you factor everything in. You factor in, you know, like I said, you want to pay for your kids' college education. You know how much sports costs today. You know how much music costs today. Everything. Everybody's got their hand out, and it is very expensive. Again, so people make an intelligent family. Well, you know what? I only make X amount of dollars. Well, you know what? Then I'm only able to have this amount. Again, it's a budgeting issue. It's not like, we're living, most of the country's living off subsistence farming, where you got to have as many kids possible to work the farm. Again, that is the reality. That's the cost of our bureaucracy, the cost of our government, the cost of everything. It factors in. Anyway, and guess what? The Fed's not going to be able to deal with those inflationary costs by any stretch of the imagination. All right, you want to talk about big government, we're talking about waste. It was a story today, local one for me, New York Post. Again, heard about this back when George Pataki was governor here in New York, and they said, hey, we need to bring the Long Island Railroad to Grand Central Station. Now, again, if you're not familiar with New York City, you got two terminals, major terminals, actually three. You get the one downtown as well that come into New York City. For the Long Island Railroad, it was just Penn Station. Get into Penn Station, which is underneath Madison Square Garden, West Side. Got to get off the train there. Find your way to your subway in one of the most grossest train stations I've ever seen in my entire life. That's right. Nasty. Penn Station is gross. And this was over the holidays. I took my daughter and a bunch of her friends into the city. They wanted to walk around Soho and the stores, and I took them all out to lunch. So we took the train in, and we get out at Penn Station, and they're walking around, and the smell of urine was so bad. You should have seen these girls. beside themselves. But anyway. I digress. So they opened up. Anyway, make a long story short here. They opened up this, again, this was proposed back in the 90s. The Long Island Railroad Terminal is going to now open up at Grand Central Station. Got to get on the train at Jamaica, and we'll take you there. 15 years. $11.6 billion. Dollars. Yeah. Now, again, the interesting thing is that when this thing was proposed, they originally proposed it 50 years ago. They started working on it in the 1990s. It was supposed to be done in 2009 with a price tag of $4.3 billion. Again, we made fun of the Second Avenue subway. But it's not just New York. These are government works projects in any blue state. They still working on that stupid-ass train, high-speed train in California? They're still working on that nonsense? You want to know what that's going to cost when all is said and done? But hey, it keeps unions fat and happy. It keeps politicians fat and happy, where they just continue to suck on the taxpayer teat for as long as they possibly can. Play it out. I don't care whether it's rebuilding Ground Zero. It doesn't make any difference. If it's done in a freaking blue state, it is a black hole when it comes to money. I remember making fun of Boston's Big Dig back in the 1990s and the cost overruns and the bullshit. You know, and again, I'm going to be honest. You go to a red state. You go down to Florida, okay? You take a look at some of the some of the highway work projects. I was just in Orlando. I've been to Orlando in some time. I was in Orlando this past weekend. I remember it was about a year or two ago. They were working on I-4 and working on the highway through Orlando, and there was construction being done. And now they have a one of those traffic lanes that is just for, you know, it's express traffic lanes, helping deal with the traffic on I-4 in Orlando. This is a couple of years ago they started the damn thing. If they were to freaking do that shit here in New York, it was like a boondog. I remember the West Side Highway. It would be decades before it would be completed. That's the reality, people. That's the reality of the situation. It's corruption. Corruption as far as the eye could see. And yeah, I'm maybe a little bit going to get to maybe talk about Ukraine, corruption, some of the things that are going on right now with tanks, maybe a little bit later on today, if not tomorrow here on the program. Do you really want all of your wealthy people to leave? California lawmakers are pushing legislation that would impose a new tax on the state's wealthiest residents, even if they've moved to another part of the country. This bill in the California state legislature would impose an extra annual 1.5% tax on those with a worldwide net worth above $1 billion. And again, put this into perspective. You know, you take a look at what certain billionaires or millionaires would have been taxed back in, I don't know, 2020 compared to what the value of their assets are today. And again, they actually put in the caveat, well, if you can't afford to, you know, sell your art or your real estate or your stock, we're just going to bill you for it later. And they keep a running tab, I guess, when you die and you have to sell the things off to pay. Why would anybody continue to live there? But you got other states as well pushing this wealth tax: Connecticut, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, New York, and Washington. And I happen to live in New York. And I already told my son, I said, you know what? I'm sucking it up. Sucking it up until you graduate from high school, unless this goes through. Because if this goes through and they start implementing it, I'm out tomorrow. Okay? And that would be the straw that really broke the camel's back. Not paying it. Getting the hell out of here. All right. Ken, this is... I saw a couple stories here. I know we've talked about drugs and the poison that, as you know, just continues to pour across our border, and the type of with the body count that we've got here in this country, which exceeds over 100,000 a year. It was a story yesterday. They don't have enough room in the morgues in Seattle anymore for all of the people that are coming in. And again, I've kind of thrown my hands up in the air when it comes to this. I don't have the answers. I mean, I do like, as far as an immigration bill is concerned, I know the super Trumpsters and the far right wing wackos hate it because there's compromise involved. Anybody who can't compromise, beyond me. But there's still that crowd out there that thinks we're going to round up all of the illegals here in this country and ship them back. Anyway, you've got Mexico story here. Mexico happens to be the most dangerous place for reporters in the planet. Anywhere in the world, the most dangerous place to be a journalist is Mexico. You write something that you tick off a politician, or you tick off a cartel boss or someone who's connected, you dead. Yeah, this is the country to the south of us. This is, you know, right to the south of us. From, you know, this week, Mexico, okay, people, and I know, I don't want to, it's let's just accept reality. It's a narco state. It is a narco state. And, whoa. I'm going to be, you know, to all of the Mexicans that are listening to this, don't get your underwear in a bunch. You know I'm right. we're part of the problem too, because we're doing the drugs. They're a narco state that supplies the United States. Am I wrong there? They are a narco state that supplies the United States. We're doing the drugs. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. Which came first, the drug dealer or the drug user? Story here. Mexico's one-time top cop played the part of a drug-fighting hero, adding more than 30,000 cops to the country's federal police force. But it was all a front. Yes, he was really taking money from El Chapo to keep the drugs flowing to the United States. He had a second job, a dirtier job, a more profitable job. It's the top cop in Mexico. So, what do you do? Anybody? I'm all ears here at the Watchdog on Wall Street. Send in any. I got any tips here how this should go about being handled? I invade the country. I don't know. My thing is that you wipe out all the cartels there in Mexico. I don't know. They're going to come from somewhere else. I don't have the answers here. And again, you, right now you've got this immigration, talk about immigration, the issues that are taking place. And again, I would ask, I said, what would you do? What would you do if you happened to be in an area where it was overrun? Overrun by drug cartels and corruption. And, you know, you saw an out coming to the United States and declaring asylum. And you got kids. Again, you got to think about what people are weighing in their minds. And that's part of the debate that's taking place right now within Republicans, because, you know, Chip Roy, certain Republicans want to, they say, hey, listen, if we can't file the paperwork and process these asylum cases fast enough, then we have to stop them altogether. And they've got other Republicans that are saying that's not the Christian thing to do. You can't, you know, you can't tell people no if they want to claim asylum. They're saying it's un-American. What's the right answer? I believe in having a border as well. I do. But we can't deny that we're part of this problem. We are part of this problem. We are funding the corruption that's taken place there. And again, I want to go back in time, and I'll never forget this. This, to me, it was probably one of the most effective anti-drug advertisements. No, it wasn't. This is your brain on drugs and Nancy Reagan's Just Say No, even though this is your brains and your brains on drugs thing. And you young people out there weren't familiar. There was a commercial where they would show an egg. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. And then they would put the egg into a frying pan and watch it fry. I actually saw a meme the other day comparing that ad to today. They're like, gee whiz, that egg that the guy's cracking and putting a thing is more expensive than drugs are here in the United States. And there's some truth to that, which again, it's pretty sad. Anyway, there was an ad. This was Bush administration. I probably said 2006, 2007. And the ad was out there. Said, listen, you're doing drugs. You're funding terrorists. Again, wasn't that far removed from 9/11. War in Iraq, war on terror, all the rage. I think Donald Rumsfeld was still the Secretary of Defense, and you had Darth Vader, Dick Cheney there, Vice President. And yeah, that was an ad. And it was accurate. It was accurate because guess what? Where did all the heroin come from? Almost all the world's heroin came from Afghanistan. Now there's no more heroin. They have fentanyl. fentanyl, you don't have to worry about droughts. You don't have to worry about whether the sun's going to come out. You don't have to worry about soil. It's chemicals that you mix up and you can do in a little area. And we are funding all of the corruption, all of the issues down there because we're doing the drugs. Okay. Moving on. Let's get to some politics here. Honestly, you couldn't make this up if you wanted to. You got the top FBI Russiagate official. Again, he was the one who received the tip that kicked off the whole Trump-Russia investigation. He's been arrested and charged with violating U.S. sanctions on Russia by taking secret payments from a Russian oligarch in order to investigate another oligarch. But remember this, Charles McGonigal? He was a special agent in charge of the FBI's New York counterintelligence desk. And I've said this before, and I don't want to sound medieval, but I'm sorry, you take on a position where you are the public trust. The consequences for doing things like this, I'm sorry, they need to be beyond draconian. Yeah. I mean, this is an affront. This is the FBI, people. And people still are defending the FBI. The FBI needs to be dismantled, shut down, closed up, start over. Completely start over. Fire every freaking person in there. Hey, what about all the cases they're working on? Bullshit. Make every single person reapply. Start over. The place is rotten to the core, and we all know it. The same thing goes with the CIA. Anyway, classified documents bring spotlight to Penn Biden Center, foreign policy think tank. Okay, here's a news flash here. As soon as you hear foreign policy think tank, think of a money laundering operation for DC apparatchiks. Did Penn Biden Center solve any global conflicts or anything like that? No. It's just a way for these people that were in government, that might be temporarily out of government, to make some money. Anything good ever come out of a think tank? Is there any book in the library? Great policies and great inventions coming out of think tanks. No, they're money laundering. It's like the Clinton Global Initiative. It's all this bullshit. Again, I love that movie, American Hustle. It's the story of the whole ab scam, and they nail the mayor of Camden, New Jersey, with the cash in a briefcase scam. Pikers. No more cash in a briefcase. No, you get a job giving speeches for cryptocurrency places for $250,000 a pop. Or when Hillary goes and speaks for 20 minutes at a Goldman Sachs conference while nobody pays the flip attention for $250,000 a pop. Or you start your own little think tank. And you get money pouring. And you know how many millions of dollars Joe Biden got from the University of Pennsylvania? They called him a professor. He never taught a flipping class. Never taught a class. Not one, but he was a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Paid him millions. Yeah, so do you think you could get that type of a gig? No. But again, this is part of our problem. Here, it's the corruption that is, it's ever so pervasive here in this country. Mitch Daniels is the chancellor, president of Purdue University, and why don't you do a little homework yourself on Purdue and see how they've managed to keep their costs down. It's one of the nation's finest universities, engineering school, and they lower tuition. Mitch Stanton would be able to run a ship where he's able to keep tuition down, in fact, lower tuition where every place else out there continues to raise it. Again, he was thinking about running for Senate in Indiana, and the super Trumpsters want no part of it. No, the MAGA class wants no part of Mitch Daniels. I don't know, maybe because he's somewhat pragmatic. Don't listen to me. Do your homework on this guy. See what he's done throughout his career. See, I mean, he actually worked within the Bush administration with all their profligate spending and managed spending cuts. Know what his nickname was? The Blade. Anyway, you know what? We're going to end up, because we started talking about corruption and how pervasive and how dangerous it can be and what it can do. And we got this ongoing god-awful conflict in the Ukraine. And now there's debate who's going to send tanks and who's not going to send tanks. And Germany doesn't want countries to send their tanks and they're not sending tanks. And there's a rift in NATO. Say this once and a thousand times. We're NATO. Okay? We are. And again, I can be highly critical, but Donald Trump was right calling out NATO and the fact that none of these countries, almost, no, that's not true. Some of the countries do pay their required 2% of GDP, but most of them do not. Germany, oh yeah, we're going to start doing it. Bullshit. They're not going to do crap. They can't even agree to send tanks in to the Ukraine. So again, let's stop with this NATO nonsense. I know. Think tanks love it. Love all this crap. For me, nah. Nah. Right, we got NATO now. You know, I guess somebody, there was a protest in Sweden. Somebody burned a Quran. And now Turkey says, forget it, Sweden, you can't be a part of NATO now. Whatever. Does anybody think if Russia rolled into Estonia, if Russia decided to drop paratroopers into Montenegro, Do you think Germany and the rest of these countries would join in? No freaking way. Okay? No way. Anyway, NATO keeps a lot of bureaucrats, keeps a lot of, you know, people pretty happy. I mean, come on, people. So you get a job, you're stationed there at NATO, you get the expense account, you get to go out, you get to, you know, travel around Europe, and oh, wow, it's great. Quick gig. Again, it's like becoming ambassador. It's like a president appoints you to be ambassador. Who gets all these ambassadorships? Again, what are these? The State Department runs all of these embassies around. It's a freaking fraternity. It's like the Greek system at a college, for crying out loud. You know, I mentioned this before on the program. Yeah, one of the most valuable pieces of real estate in all of Italy is the American Embassy. Oh, yeah, you got it. Boy, see this place. Great gig. Hey, how does one become, you know, this is a funny story. I'll never forget this. This is going back. One of the longest running representatives, this is going back to 2004. He's a Florida representative, Vern Buchanan, and he is the Sarasota area of Florida. He got several businesses down there. He Ford dealerships, got a few things he's got going on, accomplished businessman, but he was a bundler for George W. Bush. bundler for George W. Bush, and he had a choice. He had a choice. He either could have become the ambassador to the Bahamas, or they were going to make him in line to run for the seat down there in Sarasota District, Florida. I don't even know what the number is off the top of my head. And he decided to do that. And he's still the representative from that area. But that's not a bad gig. I mean, you go ahead, you know, you pick the right hand, you bundle a ton of money and say, yeah, you know what? I want to be ambassador to the Bahamas. What exactly do you do there all day long? Just saying. Anyway, the Ukrainian, well, Zelensky just fired several governors of regions in the Ukraine and some of the people within his cabinet. And it all has to do with what we were talking about, what our worries have been, corruption. And again, you could read the story yourself, buying food at overinflated prices from preferred sellers, and then taking your kickback and your VIG. Kids, it's Eastern Europe, man. It's Eastern Europe. And this is what corruption does. You want to talk about, you know, they, in this country, they talk about, you know, oh, geez, you got the wealth gap. And again, the problem I have with some of the wealth is the people that are making money off of so-called government service. You know, those people make me sick to my stomach. Jeff Bezos doesn't. I'm sorry. You may not like his policy, whatever it may be. He built it. He built a pretty amazing company. Elon Musk did pretty well for himself. Yeah, I've got tons of major problems with Bill Gates, but he did create a pretty good company. I use Microsoft Office. Been using it for years. Hate his operating system, though. Won't go back to that. There's Apple. You think about all these people that build things and create things. We have corruption here in this country. But again, God willing, we can get back to following the rule of law to a greater degree. And this is why I talk about the importance of having rules and regulations written in black and white rather than gray. And I know I've talked about this in the past here, where I go on vacation, I go to Greece, and you take a look at these massive yachts, and you look at the name, and you can look up the name of the boat, and they've got their own Wikipedia pages, and they shows who owns it. They're all oligarchs from Eastern Europe. They're all Eastern Europe, Russia. These are the people that run everything. Well, again, and this is where you'll see corrupt people kind of gravitate to. Talk about Biden and Hunter. Why go there? You can make yourself enormously wealthy very quickly because things are not done by the rule of law. They're either done by who you can pay off or a gun. And again, I've watched countries, you know, and I back and forth over to Europe. And I'm going to use two countries, for example. I'm going to first talk about Italy. Okay. When I went to school in Italy, it's again, pretty much the same. It's still a country it's got its regions. It's improving immensely in the South little by little. We just saw in Italy, a mafia don get arrested after 30 years. Come on, man. That's how pervasive the corruption is, and that's how hard it is to get it out. It's gotten much, much better. And the further they go with that, the better off it's going to be for the people there so they can succeed. I watched this, you know, happen in Greece. I'm first going to Greece back in the 1990s, and it was antiquated. I mean, everything, it looked like that they were decades behind the United States and the type of technology that we had and what was going on and the corruption. He had all the corruption that was involved with the 2004 Olympics. They've done yeoman's work and cleaning all of that up. The rule of law matters, people. And if you have the rule of law, again, this country, we're supposed to be a nation of laws, not of men. And if you can follow the rule of law, geez, you know what? People know how to, you can navigate within a system. When you get these, black hole countries, and Ukraine's a black hole country, it's as corrupt could be. It's got the breadbasket, one of the breadbaskets of the world, it's commodities, everything that they have there. It's ripe for the taking if you're an evildoer, I guess. You had that ethical bypass at birth that I've mentioned before. Anyway, holy shnikes. I almost went an hour today. Watchdog on WallStreet.com. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com. Have a great day, everybody.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.